British Public Radio. Gardening.
Garden Time with radiogardening.co.uk.
As Valentine's Day is on the horizon, well, yes, it's 14th of February, as we all know. I've come up to catch up with Neil Byford, who is a wholesale florist in East Anglia. Now, Neil, Valentine's Day must have changed. I always talk to yourself as must have changed because we're possibly similar ages and we remember the industry 20, 30 years ago. Absolutely. Has it changed that much, actually?
The bases haven't changed that much, Ken. I think there are obviously new varieties of flowers coming along all the time, which will replace what we would regard as a traditional flower. I mean, depends how far you want to go back, but perhaps as a short time, 10 years back, we would probably be selling a lot of carnations, red, etc. That volume size seems to have reduced, but we're still maintaining the quantity of the red rose, which is key. I mean, it's probably 75% of the market in terms of value.
And really, that was always, I mean, if we go back years, never changed.
Roses
was always the thing that you gave your loved one.
Well, that's the sweetheart's flower, and that's what it's been. Let's hope it remains. It's a peace offering. It's all sorts of things. It has all sorts of values.
Yes. It is indeed. And thinking about roses, I suppose if you look back far enough, roses were grown in the UK by growers in the UK, weren't they, originally?
Originally.
That's gone, isn't it?
Yes, that's gone. I mean, the key areas for production now really South America, Colombia. We get the varieties called Freedom. There's a very nice rose called Upper Class. Then you've got the Dutch production centering on varieties like Grand Prix, Naomi, Passion. But you know, they've been fairly stable varieties probably for the last 10 years.
Which is quite interesting that they haven't come up with anything really startling. But can you? A red rose is a red rose.
You can't keep evolving, I suppose. I mean, certain varieties will come along. So there will be changes, but when I go back to my earlier days in the trade, in fact, when my father was in the seat, if you like, the main Colombian rose was a rose called Visa, and the main Dutch rose was one called Red Bacara.
I remember Red Bacara from the wife florist.
Exactly right. So yeah. you've got history. So that's where the change is. But certainly the red rose still holds the market, and it is, you know, it's the key flower.
Now, we're always accused, aren't they? You know, retailers are accused. Everybody hypes the price up for roses, and Valentine's Day is a rip-off. Yes. But really, surely it's like everything in life. It's a bit of a supply and demand thing, isn't it?
Well, it is supply and demand. And, you know, I've had newspapers ringing me up. They try and corner me a little bit. And, you know, I try to stay loyal to my customers. And I do understand how the market works. I do understand the pressures they're under. And when I say to them, why not come to me 6 months' time and ask me how much a red rose is? And then we'll talk about Valentine's prices. Then we take an average over the year. Because, as you just said, it is supply and demand. When the demand is there, the supply will control the price. And more so these days with growers, their ways of production, they can more or less turn the tap on and off. They've got control over temperature, light, watering. They can bring the flowers you can almost order them to the day. So the market never gets flooded. So the supply is always controlling the demand, if you follow my meaning. Whereas days gone by where production was not so easy to control, You might get a flood of something, not just red roses, but any crop, any seasonal crop, and then the market would run out. It would probably crucify on price from the grower's point of view.
But it's interesting because, I mean, actually, we can take an interesting example of that that's similar today, which is potatoes.
Exactly.
Now, you think they've had a rotten season last year.
Indeed.
Potatoes, therefore, in short supply. And what has the price done? It's nearly doubled.
That's right. I have friends in the farming community and they tell me just that.
Yeah. So really, that's supply and demand. It's no good saying, well, those farmers, they're ripping us off because it's gone up.
No.
It's because there aren't enough potatoes.
Potatoes are probably the same. I don't totally understand the marketing system, but certainly with flowers, it's not so much, okay, we're going to fix this price and that's how much they're going to be. It's certainly on the Dutch market, on the Dutch supply side, it is an auction. It's not a market as such. It's like an auction where the growers, as I say, will control the supply, and the buyers will buy as they see
fit.
And it's all done on what you call a clock system.
You pay for it.
You pay for it.
And if it's short, the price will rise. Simple as that.
That's what happens.
So really what we're saying is that, okay, roses might be a little bit more expensive at Valentine's Day to other times of the year.
Yes.
But how do they compare year on year? Because we've just said some come from Holland. So, okay, that's tied into the euro. You're talking about Colombia. What's that tied into? What currency is there?
The Colombian is tied into the US dollar. And early indications are that prices this year shouldn't be any more than probably the last 2 years. And the thing that's controlling it this year is the exchange rate, dollar to pound. The pound is slightly more favourable against the dollar as we speak, as opposed to 12 months ago. And that will head off, or at least eliminate, any potential increase that growers are looking for. Growers might be looking for an increase, but the exchange rate will help us.
In this country, ongoing
with the price.
That's quite fascinating.
Yeah.
Long, tall roses, that's what we get. Is that mainly from Colombia, or are they from Holland as
no,
well?
No, mainly from Holland. When you talk about long, tall roses, the longest rose that we tend to supply is the Grand Prix, and it usually comes on an 80-centimetre stem. The Colombian tend to grow a bit shorter, around about 60-70-centimetre stem. Yeah.
Still as popular?
As tall ones? As popular,
And really the others are, you know, the shorter roses will work out cheaper.
Yes.
And you see actually a lot of those shorter ones actually, I hate to say it, in supermarkets, don't you?
They do. And a warning to people that might be thinking about buying red roses for Valentine's is that there's a saying in the trade, the longer the stem, the better the head. It's all relative. You trade off quality of head if you go for the shorter stem.
You lose it.
I think you lose it, yeah.
And really, you want to look for something that's fresh, a florist shop, somebody that's dealing in flowers all the time is where you want to go, isn't
it? I think so. Yeah, you get the best advice, you get the best preparation, the best maintenance of the flowers, and that's where you need to be.
Hi there, and welcome to Lawn Care. Now, it seems quite strange with such an institution as the Great British Lawn that it's not spoken about a little bit more than it is. But hopefully I'm going to put that right now with some monthly advice on how to give you that great lawn. There are a few things that you can do, obviously, when the conditions are suitable, to help your lawn along. In the UK, a lot of people tend to put their lawn to bed during the winter period. Yet it's one of my great beliefs that it's never how good your lawn is in the summer, it's how good it comes out of the winter. So there are many things that you can do to your lawn during the winter time, which will help you for the rest of the year. Now, the first thing I would like to talk about right now is leaf removal. Leaves obviously fall down towards the end of the year. Some people tend to remove them, but it can be quite a tedious job, and often they get left on the lawn. This causes many, many problems, normally leading to a bit of disease, which can lead to a very, very bad thinning out of an area, which doesn't become noticeable until spring. So as soon as the weather is suitable, get out onto your lawn and try and rake up, probably using a plastic rake, try and rake up any leaves that are still lying on the grass. You will see that there are bits of disease happening underneath those leaves, so your work will be well worthwhile. Now, the second thing leading on from that is just what I said, really, is the effect of disease on your lawns during the winter time. Often lawns go back during the winter time with a lot of disease sort of very, very slowly killing off plants. And this is caused by the weather, and as I say, it can be caused by things like leaf damage as well. Now, obviously, there are lawn treatment companies out there that can treat your disease with fungicides. But a little simple way that you can do this yourself is by an application or two of a product called ferrous sulfate, which we all know as moss killer. It can be bought readily from most garden centres. It does have to be applied in a sensible way, the main aspect being as much water as you can possibly put down, because I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that have applied some feedweed and moss killer products or things like that that have scorched their lawn quite bad. So the way you apply it needs to be certainly looked into a little bit. It will basically check the disease. It won't cure the disease, but it will check the disease, and it will lock up a few little nutrients that may be still active, helping that disease along. The next thing I'd talk about would be aeration. After a very, very wet year, very wet summer and a very wet autumn and winter, airspace in the soil profile now is certainly at a premium. It tends to be overlooked a little bit in this country because it's not one of those things that immediately gives you a greening up effect. But of course, it has to be remembered that the plants actually grow in the soil. So when the soil stops working, your grass will stop working with it. Now, based on experience of the amount that people actually put into aeration, I would normally suggest doing a what we call a hollow tine aeration. These can be used in a similar fashion to that of a garden fork. You can certainly buy these, or you can obviously hire a pedestrian machine from a local hire shop or garden centre again. One thing I would suggest as well is to remove the cores where possible. I wouldn't suggest trying to dress any sand down into the holes. That's a subject which can be spoken about on another day. And the last thing I'd like to mention in this series is something to do with mowing. It certainly is a fantastic little thing that can spruce up the look of your lawn after such a dismal winter period. So if your mower hasn't been taken away and serviced, then get out there, set the mower up as high as you can possibly, and give the lawn a little trim. It will certainly improve the look of it, and as I say, it will help dry the grass plants out somewhat as well. So there you go, there's four little things that hopefully can improve your lawn over the next few months. My name is David Hedges-Gower, my company is called Lawn Solutions, and I shall speak to you soon.
Garden Time is a British Public Radio presentation in association with radiogardening.co.uk.